Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
What I want to talk to you guys about today is hopefully going to be able to bring some balance to some of our walks. How many know balance is so important in everything we do? Amen. I think sometimes we look at God and whatever our experience is, whatever our encounter has been with the Lord, whatever you know religious upbringing we've had or whatever denominational background we've had, we tend to slant very often towards those things. So I was brought up in a Spirit-filled home and brought up in Pentecost and brought up in the gifts of the Spirit and brought up in measurable experiences with the Holy Spirit. Even as a child, I can remember all of that, and it's very powerful, very impactful in my life. I can remember as a young man, some of you guys may never heard him, but I remember as a boy, a man by the name of R.W. Shambach. Anybody ever heard of R.W. Shambach? He was an old tent healing evangelist from back in the day when people would still go to tent revivals, and he was doing a revival at the church that my mom and dad got saved at in Owensboro, Kentucky. And it's really probably the first experience, but I don't know, I was maybe, how old was I, 6 or 7 years old? I don't know how old it was. But I remember they did a healing line. They did a tunnel where they had all the elders and the pastors of the church all like make a tunnel, and you would walk. Anybody ever done one of those? And you'd walk through the tunnel and get prayer. Some of you guys are like, that sounds like the most scary, freaked out thing I've ever heard of. When you grow up in that, it's just kind of the normal, that it was like a normal thing of the late 80s, mid 90s charismatic church. And we'd walk through the tunnel, everybody pray for him. I remember vividly, even at that age, this white-haired, crazy-eyed R.W. Shambach at the end of the tunnel laying hands on everybody, people falling out in the Spirit. I remember him laying hands on me, and I fell out in the Holy Ghost, and I don't remember how long I laid there, but I remember getting up and going, that was pretty awesome, I'm going to do that again. And I got back in line. I remember I got back in line and went through again. And let's see if you can do it again. And I remember that, and so it's easy for a lot of my experiences to slant that way. If you come up in maybe more reserved, and I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just saying more of a reserved and more quiet type setting, you slant that way. And we tend to think that here's what we tend to think. Whatever got me to Jesus, I usually tend to think that that's like the best thing. Right, so I got saved and really rededicated my life and grew up in a Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, man, crazy Holy Ghost atmosphere. I think that's the best way to do things, and I still kind of think that's the best way to do things. You know what I mean? But I've also learned that God works in other ways that I may not necessarily be able to define. Jesus has saved plenty of people in Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and Lutheran churches and Methodist churches. You know what I mean? Even in Church of Christ churches, people find Jesus. I don't know how, but he does. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm playing. Even in Catholic churches, people find Jesus, okay? And it's absolutely true. And even in crazy, wild, Spirit-filled churches, people find Jesus, you know what I mean? Because wherever Jesus is lifted up, people would be drawn to him, amen? And so I want to bring some balance, hopefully, to some of, I don't know what happened here, just ignore that, some of our thinking so that we understand that God moves in different ways. And just because God doesn't do the same thing that he did one time doesn't mean he's any less available to me when he doesn't move that way. Does that make sense? Balance is so key in everything. If I don't have balance, and the closer I get to God, and the more I walk with God, the more I see that God is a God of balance. He really is. God, we tend to think that God is all this way or he's all that. And he's not, man. He wants balance in our lives. He wants us to be on fire for God. He wants us to be expressive. He wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be all that. But he also wants us to be able to walk with him steadily, sometimes quietly, if the necessity. Does that make sense? He's a God of balance. He's a God of order. In fact, he's even created our bodies in such a way. I don't know if you know this, but if you were to, I like to lift weights. That's a big part of my life. Dieting is not a big part of my life, but lifting weights and really heavy weight is a big part of what I do. It just is what it is. I'll keep doing that until I can't do it anymore, but it's just what I do. And so as a guy who does a lot of power movements and squatting and deadlifts, guys like me will make fun of guys who only go into the gym and the only thing they ever do is chest and biceps. You might never know guys like that. Every day is chest day. Every day is arms day. And they just bench press and do biceps. Here's the deal. Your body is designed in such a way that at some point, if you never work out your lower half, your upper half will stop growing because your body naturally will seek balance. Did you know that? And so if you never work out your lower body, your legs, your quads, your glutes and hams and all that, and you only work your upper body, at some point you will stall out and your body will just stop developing your upper body because it seeks balance. Now, who created our bodies like that? God did. God did, because he's a God of balance. He wants us to be balanced. Everybody say balanced. Let me read this story here. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. Then we're going to pray and dig in a little bit. Matthew 14, 28. The disciples are in the middle of a storm, rowing on the water. And the Bible says Jesus comes walking out in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. And then Peter is the one who always... Let's start at verse 27. It says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" In verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Peter jumps out of the boat and walks on the water. I know in the next verse he begins to sing, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that he walked on water. Can you imagine that? Peter walks on water. Peter stands alone as only one of only two people. Jesus is the other one that have ever been recorded doing this miracle. He walked across the water, even if it was only for a few minutes or a few seconds. He walked across the water. Peter, with all of his rough edges, and we know Peter has some issues. If you studied the Gospels and looked at the life of Peter, Peter's got some problems. Peter's got some anger issues. Peter is likes to fight guy. You know what I mean? Everybody know likes to fight. I mean, some guys are like to pretend to fight. Some guys are likes to fight. How many saw that fight that went down with Jose Bautista and Odor, whatever he was, from the... You didn't see that this week? So last year in the playoffs, Bautista for the Blue Jays did a big bat flip, and that's a big no-no in baseball because you can't have any emotion in baseball when you do something cool. So he does a bat flip and offends... who's the other team they're playing? Landon, who are they playing? The Rangers, yeah, that's right. Got the Rangers all mad because he does this bat flip to win this game, and they were all mad. So they had their final game of the season this past week, and they waited, and they've already played each other five or six times. But, you know, baseball has that weird code, right, where if you do something to offend us, we're going to hit you the next time with the ball. What an odd code, right? Like, where else is that okay that you're allowed to hit me at 90 miles an hour with a little rock, basically? Anyway, so they waited till the last at bat, and Jose Bautista gets on bat and gets hit with the ball, and so some things develop. All of a sudden, Bautista goes out. He goes to the mound, right? It was the pitcher, right? Anyway, here's what happened. Bautista went to charge the pitcher who had hit him. And Bautista was not, he was wanting to pretend to fight guy. The pitcher was likes to fight guy. I can't believe you guys didn't see this. It was all over the news. It was like the most exciting baseball thing that's happened all year. So Bautista walks out all tough, pushes the guy, and the pitcher, bam, decks him right in the face. I mean, just absolutely blasted him. It was one of the greatest baseball punches ever because the pitcher was actually likes to fight guy, and Bautista was I want to pretend to like to fight guy. And if you're in that situation, you always want to be likes to fight guy, not likes to pretend to want to fight guy. And so he got bopped right in the face. It was awesome. Peter was likes to fight guy. Peter, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls out a sword and hacks off somebody's ear. He was ready to go, ready to throw down at any time. So Peter had some issues, but in all of Peter's issues, man, he had this unbelievable passion for Jesus. Amen. And he had passion for God. And that passion for God drove him to say, "Jesus, you're out in the water, but I want to be next to you. I'll jump out of the boat and do whatever it takes to get to you if you help me to walk on water." So Peter, with that passion leads Peter to do one of the most amazing things that's ever done. And he walks across the water. And I got to just tell you this, man. I've been around enough church people in my life and been doing this for enough time to know this. I want some people with passion around me. Amen. I need some people who are fired up around me. Amen. And I'm usually a pretty fired up person myself. It doesn't take a lot to get me going, and that's cool. But I also need people that when I'm not feeling it, can help me feel it. You know what I'm saying? We need passionate people. Amen. Now this Eric Dunaway here is one of the most passionate people for God I've ever met in my life, man. Honestly, and so it fires me up sometimes when I'm preaching to hear him amen and louder than all of you. You know what I mean? Because I just figure at least somebody's with me. You know what I mean? And that's encouraging to me. I'm serious. And so listen, If I were in this church and not up here on stage, I would probably be sitting somewhere in this vicinity with him, because in worship, it would be really hard for me not to feel that passion that he exudes when he's worshiping God. That would rub off on me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so you need some people with passion around you. Now, sometimes passionate people can make conservative people and reserved people very uncomfortable. Amen. And that's okay. But listen, we need passionate people in church. Amen. We need passionate people about the things of God. We need people who aren't afraid to show a little excitement, show a little enthusiasm, show a little emotion once in a while. Amen. Give me some people who aren't afraid to jump out of the boat. Amen. Because if you look at the story, the Bible says the disciples had been rowing in this boat all night long and the wind was against them, which means they were working hard and going nowhere. Amen. And Peter was the only one out of the 12 that thought to himself, this boat's going nowhere. Jesus isn't even in the boat. I'm going to get to Jesus. Amen. I want some people that are willing to say, this boat's not going anywhere. This thing isn't working. This thing's not going anywhere. Let's jump out of the boat and find something new. Let's switch things up a little bit. Let's see what's going to work. Amen. That was Peter. Okay. He walks on the water. Now let's flip over to a couple of years later, probably. Jesus has been crucified. He is now resurrected. The disciples were not really sure what's going on. In John 21, they weren't really 100% what had happened exactly. They weren't totally convinced of what was about to happen, but they're about to get convinced. The Bible says the disciples had been fishing all night long. They went back to what they knew. They went to fish again. That's what they were. They were fishermen, and they had been fishing all night long. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, after fishing all night and catching nothing, Jesus shows up on the banks of the shore, and Jesus calls out to him and says, hey, why don't you put your net in one more time? Okay, these disciples, I believe to feel something was up. They put their net in. The Bible says they brought in a miraculous catch of fish. The fish was, again, just happened. This happened earlier in the life with Jesus. In fact, Jesus told them to put their net on the other side of the water. And they pulled in such a big catch of fish that it took two boats to haul it in. And that's what happens again. They get this giant catch of fish in. And as they're rowing back to shore with all these hundreds of pounds of fish, and Jesus is there, all of a sudden it dawns on Peter and John. They begin to whisper to each other. And I believe it's Peter that looks at John and says, I think that's the Lord. I think that's Jesus on the boat, on the shore. Okay? And then this happens again. Peter, that passionate guy that just, I'm going to be wherever Jesus is, God. Listen to this. John chapter 21, verse 7. It says, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. They're rowing this boat full of fish. Peter jumps out of the boat again. But this time, we don't see Peter walking on the water. This time when Peter jumps out of the boat, he sinks right to the bottom and swims his way to shore. Now, I don't know if Peter was expecting to walk on the water again. Honestly, if it was me, I may have thought, if that's Jesus, I'm going to have a repeat, and I'm not going to fail this time. I'm not going to get afraid this time. I'm going to walk on the water again, and I'm going to get to Jesus, right? Would anybody else have been thinking that? Because I read that, and then I begin to wonder, why did Peter not walk on the water this time? Did he somehow fail? Was his faith somehow less than it was a couple of years earlier? Was Jesus no longer, was it the hand of God and the blessing of God no longer on Peter's life? And so Peter failed, and where before he was able to walk on the water, now Peter was somehow less anointed, and he was not able to. No, I don't believe any of that, man, because I bet all of us in this room have had situations at least one or twice in our life where we've jumped out of the boat and felt like we walked on water, and there's been times we've jumped out of the boat and sank like a stone. That's right. Amen. Can you think of a time in your life right now where, man, you took a risk, you made a decision, you took a chance, and just instantly God showed up and moved miraculously? I can. And I can think of times where I took a chance, took the same risk, took the same chance, took the same thing, and all of a sudden it didn't work out. At least it didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out. And here's where the balance needs to come into our lives. Listen to me close. There are times in your life where God will enable you to walk on water, and there are times he will empower you to swim. Amen? Sometimes God moves in such a way that, man, I'm walking on water. And it's amazing. I can feel God's presence. I can feel His blessing. But there's sometimes where God will empower me to swim. And let me say this. I believe this. The resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is much more alive in me when I need it for me to swim than for me to walk on water. Let me say it this way. I believe my faith is actually greater when I'm having to swim than when I'm having to walk on water. Right? I mean, how difficult is it? How much faith does it take for me to walk on water when God is doing something supernatural in my life that I can see and feel? And you know what I mean? It takes much more faith to swim and trust that I'm going the right direction and going towards Jesus and doing the right thing when there's no outside evidence of God's supernatural working in my life. Amen? In fact, the prophet Isaiah, a few hundred years before this, said it like this in Isaiah chapter 40, around verse 31, says, even young men stumble and fall, old men grow weary. He said, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And we look at that and say, man, I want to mount up on wings as eagles. I want to soar. Amen. How many want to soar? I want to mount up and win. But here's the deal. It takes less faith to be swooped up by the hand of God, the eagle, and be carried to a destination. It takes a little more faith when I'm empowered to run. And it takes even more faith when I can't do anything else but just walk slowly in front of me. Amen. And so sometimes the times when there's the least activity is the times of my greatest faith. Amen. The time of the least supernatural spiritual activity I can see is often the time that I'm operating and walking in my greatest faith. And sometimes God empowers us to walk on the water, and lots of times He simply empowers us to swim, okay? And so I just want to talk about three things with that in mind as kind of our foundation today, three things to do, to keep in mind as we keep pursuing Jesus. The first thing is this. Don't stop getting out of the boat. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, well, if there's a chance that I'm going to sink and I'm going to fail and I'm going to get wet, I'm just going to stay right here in the comfortable boat because the boat is dry. I'm familiar with the boat. I know the boat. I'm very comfortable with the boat. So I will just stay where I'm comfortable. Forget that. Don't stop getting out of the boat. Just because there's a chance you may get wet, just because there's a chance you may have to swim, don't stop getting out of the boat. Amen. You will never grow in your faith if you never allow yourself to be pushed outside of your comfort zone. Amen? Amen? Comfort zone. Listen, we in our society, in our culture, our God is our personal comfort. We do not want to do anything that gets us outside of our comfort zones. And for all of us, those comfort zones may be very different. You can open your eyes and look around the room on Sunday morning and see everyone's comfort zones in the area of worship. Okay? I mean, my comfort zone, man, if I felt it, I would run around this room. I don't care. My comfort zone is way out there when it comes to that, okay? I wouldn't run fast, but I'd make it around. All right, my comfort zone is, man, let's clap, let's dance, let's move, let's shout, let's jump, let's sweat if we got to sweat, whatever it takes. Man, we're going to worship God with everything we got. Amen? Some of your comfort zone is just right here. Some of your comfort zone is just right here. Okay? I'm not knocking your comfort zone. Okay, I'm not knocking who you are personally and your personality. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with any of that. What I'm saying is, what I want to do is I would like to see you push your comfort zone just a little bit. Amen? So if your comfort zone is here, no, why don't one day you try one of these? Just a little bit. That's not much. That's just a little bit. It's a little elbow action. Just a little bit side to side. You know what I'm saying? Just a little more. Just push your comfort zone, okay? If your comfort zone is this, you know, why don't one day you just try this? Okay? Push your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Stretch your comfort zone. Get out of your boat. You will never know what God will empower you to do if you just remain comfortable in the boat. Amen? Getting out of your comfort zone may mean volunteering in an area of ministry that you don't want to get involved in. Amen? Listen, let me just say this. Sometimes opportunities show up in your life and they're called needs. Somebody says, hey, we need this. Can you help us? You may not feel called to it. You may not feel supernaturally led to it. You may not feel the Holy Spirit speak a word in your heart about it. You may not have someone prophesy over you and say, thus saith the Lord, you are to work in the nursery and change diapers 2 or 3 Sundays a year, and that's your ministry. Probably not going to happen. But what may happen is you may respond to a need, and all of a sudden that response to a need opens up a door to your destiny. Amen? And you find something that you never thought you would enjoy. You find a fulfillment and a purpose and a destiny in serving somewhere. But you're never going to discover that if we stay in the boat of our comfort. Amen? So some of our comfort zone, listen to me. Some of your comfort zone may need to be getting out of your boat. May mean in the fall when we kick off life groups, get your butt to a life group. Okay, I'm just talking about stuff here at Red Light. Let's get out of your comfort zone. I know it's awkward. I know it's weird to show up at somebody's house and sit around in a circle and talk about stuff in your life and have questions that you never ask yourself. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's awkward. I know it's weird. But there's life in it, man. There's life outside of your comfort zone. Amen? Some of you getting out of your comfort zone may simply mean setting your alarm for 10 minutes earlier in the morning or shutting the TV off 30 minutes before you normally do, and instead of watching TV till your eyes blur out and you pass out, you get alone with your Bible and spend some time with the Lord. Amen. That could be the comfort zone you need to break out of. I don't know. I'm saying, whatever our comfort zone is, let's get out. For some of us, we need to get out. There's some relationships that have become a comfort zone that are negative and not impacting our life in a positive way, and we need to break out of those things, man. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of the boat. I can't promise you're going to walk on water. You may have to swim, but what I can promise you is that you'll find Jesus when you get out of the boat. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, get out of the boat. Turn to somebody else and say, don't stop. Say, don't stop jumping out of the boat. Number two, the second thing is we've got to get a right view. And we talked about changing our vision a little bit last week. We've got to get a right view of success. We've got to get a right view of what success and failure looks like in the kingdom of God. Get a right view of success and then keep swimming. What do I mean? I mean this. Listen, in the kingdom, in the grand scheme of my life following Jesus, listen, success becomes more than simply meeting a goal. Okay? Now listen, I'm a goal-oriented person. I'm a task-driven individual. That's how my personality lines up, okay? So I understand that, right? But I also got to understand that when it comes to the grand scheme of my life and pursuing the things of God for my life, success is more than meeting a goal, right? Peter's goal was to walk on water to Jesus, okay? Peter's goal, here's the thing. Listen, let's look at success as this. Kingdom success is not just meeting a goal. Listen. It's radically pursuing Jesus wherever I see him. Amen? Let me say that again. Kingdom success is not simply meeting a goal. It's not simply going from point A to point B and meeting that destination. Kingdom success is radically pursuing Jesus wherever I see him. Peter was in a comfortable boat both times. Both times, Jesus was not in the boat. Both times, I have to imagine, Peter would say, being with Jesus in the water is better than being in this boat going nowhere. Certainly the second time, Peter's like, being with Jesus in the water and on the land is better than having to haul this catch of fish in, right? Here's the thing. Jesus wasn't in the boat, and Peter says, wherever Jesus is, that's where I'm going to get to. So let me say this to us. If you look around and don't see Jesus in your boat, get the heck out of that boat. Amen? Sink, swim, crawl, walk, fly, run, whatever you've got to do, get out of the boat and get to wherever you see Jesus. And if I radically pursue Jesus wherever I see him, listen, that is going to lead to success in my life. That is going to lead to success in the kingdom. I may or may not reach the goal. My goal may have been to walk on water, but I jumped out of the boat to get to Jesus, and I had to swim a little bit. My goal may have been to walk on water, and I began to sink, and had to have Jesus come rescue me. I don't know. But listen, and we think, well, Peter failed. No, he didn't fail. He succeeded the moment he decided, wherever Jesus is, that's where I'm going to get, and I'm going to get out of the boat to get there. That was success in the kingdom. Amen? So I've got to pursue Jesus wherever I see him. That is the right view. And as long as I'm doing that in my life, man, God's going to get me. God's going to hook me up. Does that make sense? And then the third thing, and I'm almost done. I don't even think I was going to really go fast, but I am. The third thing is this. Keep on singing. I can't illustrate it any better than this right here.
The cat was walking down the street in his brand new white shoes. Pete loved his white shoes so much, he sang this song.
I love my white shoes. 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 I love my white shoes.
Oh, no. Pete stepped in a large pile of strawberries. What color did it turn his shoes?
Red!
Did Pete cry?
Goodness, no!
He kept walking along and singing his song.
I love my red shoes. I love my red shoes.
No! Pete stepped in a large pile of blueberries. What color did it turn his shoes?
Blue!
Did Pete cry?
Goodness, no!
He kept walking along and singing his song.
I love my blue shoes. I love my blue shoes. I love my blue shoes.
Oh, no! Pete stepped in a large puddle of mud. What color did it turn his shoes?
Brown!
Did Pete cry?
Goodness, no!
He kept walking along and singing his song.
I love my brown shoes. I love my brown shoes. I love my brown shoes.
Oh, no! Pete stepped in a bucket of water. And all the brown, and all the blue, and all the red were washed away. What color were his shoes again?
White!
But now they were wet. Did Pete cry?
Goodness, no!
He kept walking along and singing his song.
I love my wet shoes. 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 I love my wet shoes.
The moral of Pete's story is No matter what you step in, keep walking along and singing your song, because it's all good.
Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. Whether I'm walking on water or whether I'm swimming, I'm rejoicing. Amen? And sometimes what happens is I have a tendency to praise a little harder when I'm walking on water as opposed to when I'm swimming. Because when I'm walking on water, everything is easy. Band, please come up. When I'm walking on water, everything is good. When I'm walking on water, man, how can I not be praising? That's amazing. But sometimes when I jump out of the boat, and instead of empowering me to walk on water, God empowers me to swim, I can allow myself to get frustrated because my expectation of walking on water wasn't met. And I can allow all kinds of thoughts and all kinds of things to begin to come into my life and into my mind. I can be thinking, well, I somehow sinned against God. I've done something wrong. God doesn't love me. God isn't with me anymore. I shouldn't have gotten out of the boat. I'm going to turn around and swim back to the boat. I made a wrong turn somewhere. Listen, forget all that, man. Whether you're walking on water or swimming, keep singing your song. Amen? Because the same God that enabled you to walk on water yesterday is the same God that is empowering you to swim through the water today. So keep on singing your song. Don't let the fact that you're swimming today as opposed to walking on water like you did yesterday rob you of your praise. Amen? And we have got to get to a place in our walk with God where I am going to sing for Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to love Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be just as passionate for Him on the good days as I am on the bad days. Amen? Because the reality is, He is still the same God. So keep walking and keep singing. Whether you're walking on water or walking underwater, keep on singing. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Stay with me over this place this morning. Start playing, guys. A little softer. Just close your eyes with me for just a moment. And I want to speak to two situations that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to speak to today. The first one is this, and really it's a question that I want to ask first. And I want you to answer yourself honestly. I know you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. This is just right now between you and the Lord. Ask yourself this question. Listen, ask yourself this. Am I living in the boat, or am I going wherever I see Jesus? Am I living in the boat of whatever's comfortable, or am I going to see Jesus? Am I moving wherever I see the Lord moving? Am I going in that direction? Am I moving that direction? Okay? And listen, there's no shame and no condemnation if your answer is in the boat, but there's just encouragement to say, man, go where you see Jesus. That's the one to go for here. Go where you see Jesus. And man, if you honestly would say, man, you know what, if I'm honest, I'm living comfortably. I'm just, you know, if something as far as the kingdom goes, if something as far as my walk with God goes doesn't make me comfortable, I just shut that down really quickly and just stay where I'm comfortable. Listen, then what you need to do right now is to probably take just a moment as we sing this song in a moment, just take a moment and repent, first of all, and say, Lord, change my heart, change my thoughts, change my mind. I want to be where you are. And if you're not in this boat, I'm going to get out of this boat. And if you're not where I'm comfortable, I'm going to go where you are, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Let's make that our commitment today. Let's make that our determination today. Amen? Jesus, I'm going to go where, even if I'm not comfortable, I'm going to go. I'm not going to live life in this boat going nowhere. The second is this. Some of you in this room may have jumped out of that boat because you're like me and you refuse to stay comfortable, and you're like Peter and you say, wherever Jesus is, I'm going after him. And sometimes passion is very good. And I would rather have, I would rather be very passionate and fired up about things than have to be constantly dragged to do something. But sometimes that passion can get, we can get ahead of ourselves a little bit, and it can, and we can put us in situations where we jump out of the boat and we sink and we swim. And there may be some of you in this room that have jumped out of whatever boat you were in, and you had an expectation, I'm going to walk on water. The Spirit of the Lord is going to carry me through this. Man, I'm going to pray for that sickness to be healed, and it's going to be healed right away. I'm going to invite my neighbor to church, and they're going to come and get saved the first time. I'm going to talk to my son or daughter about Jesus, and they're going to give their life to the Lord the first time I ever mention it. Or whatever it is, man, whatever the expectation is, and maybe it didn't work out that way. And you thought you were going to walk on water, but man, you're finding yourself having to swim a little bit. And your reaction, your knee-jerk reaction is to begin to shut down, to begin to question yourself, begin to question God. And really what's happening is the enemy's trying to steal your praise. And listen, for you, I just want to encourage you, if that's where you are this morning, if you're in a situation where you're walking, where you're swimming through some stuff this morning and not walking on water, I want to encourage you with this. Keep singing. Keep walking. Keep singing. Keep swimming and keep singing. Don't let the fact that you're not walking on water stop you from praising, man. Amen? Sometimes I've learned this in my life. And this is a little aside from the message, but listen, sometimes it is my praise that makes the difference. It really is. My praise can make the difference between me getting through and staying in. It is my our praise is such, our worship is such a powerful weapon in our spiritual arsenal that it can literally make the difference between us going over or going under. Amen? And when I'm, and if I allow my times of walking through the darkness, if I allow my times of walking and swimming, when I thought I'd be walking on water and miraculous things would be happening, if I allow that to rob my praise, guess what? I'm going to find myself walking through that thing a lot longer than God intended. Amen? Keep walking. Keep singing. Keep walking. Keep singing. Turn to your neighbor real quick, look at him and say, keep walking. Keep singing. Amen. I want our prayer team to come forward. We're going to sing just for a moment. And for some of you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.